you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, would you join me in praying to the Lord. Dear God, we thank you for letting us be here tonight. Pray that you'll use the message to draw each one of us a little closer to you. Even spark revival in our hearts. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Control me completely with your spirit. Help me to say what you'd want me to say. And Lord, again, may it have an impact upon us as we look at your word. I pray that in everything your name will be honored and glorified. And Lord, I pray that when it comes time to leave, that we can say honestly from our heart that it's been good to be in God's house tonight. Lord, as was brought up before the service, Lord, so many churches are not having Sunday night services at all. And Lord, that's sad. That's a sad condition of our churches many times in our country. I understand it because so many people don't come out a Sunday night. But Lord, we thank you that we still have our Sunday night service, and we thank you that we still have a good time together and a good time worshiping you and learning from your Bible. And I pray that tonight will be in line with that. We will indeed again learn from your Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now I looked up some things on the internet, and I know it's got to be true because it's on the internet. The coldest recorded temperature in West Virginia, I was hoping that Brittany and Patrick would be here because it was recorded in Lewisburg, West Virginia, where they're going to be for school, for Patrick's school. It was recorded December 30th, 1917, and the temperature was minus 37 degrees Fahrenheit. Pretty cool. That's the coldest recorded in West Virginia, 1917. The coldest recorded temperature in Harrison County was recorded on February 10th, 1899. That's about the year you were born, wasn't it, Tim Cochran? What's that? Year before me, okay. But it was at Lost Creek, West Virginia, Lost Creek. And that was 1899 was the year. It was negative 35 degrees Fahrenheit. The coldest recorded temperature in Clarksburg, this was much more recent. Now, we were around at this point, or I may not have been in Clarksburg, but we were on this earth. January 19th, 1994, the temperature was minus 24 degrees. That's the coldest recorded in Clarksburg. 1994. The coldest recorded temperature in the continental U.S. was recorded January 20th, 1954. January 20th, 1954 at Rogers Pass, Montana. Listen to this. The temperature recorded was minus 70 degrees Fahrenheit. The coldest recorded temperature in the U.S., that was continental U.S. Now in the U.S. overall, counting Alaska and Hawaii, I don't think it's going to be in Hawaii, but on January 23rd, 1971, Prospect Creek, Alaska, the temperature was minus 80 degrees Fahrenheit. The coldest recorded temperature at the North Pole, probably appropriate this time of year as we talk about the North Pole, right? December 22nd, 1991, near the summit of the Greenland ice sheet, the temperature was minus 93.3 degrees Fahrenheit. And the coldest recorded temperature on Earth was recorded July 21st, 1983, at the Vostok Research Station in Antarctica. That temperature was a minus 128.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, that was my purpose tonight, make everybody kind of get cold a little bit. But actually, this morning we talked about snow in the Bible. Tonight we're going to talk about cold in the Bible. Cold in the Bible. And one thing I neglected to tell you this morning, snow is mentioned in the Bible 24 times. Cold is mentioned 18 times. And it'll follow a lot of the same format as this morning. We'll talk about some different occurrences in the Bible. It talks about cold, but then we'll have an application at the end. Cold in the Bible. Now, cold is used, as I mentioned, 18 times in the Bible. And first of all, God said that there would be cold in Genesis 8. In Genesis 8, 21 and 22, God said that there would be cold. Now, there's something else really relevant about this verse, too. I'm going to point out as we look at it. Now, this is right after Noah gets off the ark. Okay? Noah and his family gets off the ark. But notice what it says. It says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Noah had offered a sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord, that is, said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. It says, while the earth remaineth, now this is big, okay? While the earth remaineth, did everybody say that with me? While the earth remaineth, say it again, while the earth remaineth, seed time that is in harvest, and cold, there it is, and heat, and summer, and winter, and day, and night shall not cease. You see, God said that there'd be cold, and therefore there is cold, right? Now, something else that's relevant I told you I'd point out, it says, while the earth remaineth. You see, we got a whole lot of people that are totally misguided on this point. They are so worried that we are going to mess up Mother Earth. Now, they don't take in account Father God when they talk about that, because Father God in the Bible says, while the earth remains, while the earth remains, as long as there's an earth here, we're going to have seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. So, you know, we don't have to worry about saving this planet. Now, I'm not saying we should be reckless and that we should just pollute everything. I'm not saying that. We should be good stewards of the earth. But I'm telling you, some people are just almost a basket case, afraid, for my kids and my grandkids, I'm doing this, and we shouldn't be, you know, what, fill in the blank. The Bible says, as long as the earth is here, it's going to go on like normal. When is the earth not going to be here? When the Lord burns it up at the end, right, and gives us a brand new earth. So we don't have to sweat it. But the big point is, that one didn't cost you any extra, okay? I just wanted to throw that in there. In case you know someone, you may work with someone who's a basket case and worried about this global warming, which, well, this is not biblical, and I'm not sure there's a chapter and verse for it, but I think global warming is nothing more than a trend, and it will go back. It may be warm a little bit now, but it'll go back to cold, and we've had trends in the past. I think it's something put forth for a political agenda. I don't even think it's real, but even if it is, I'm not worried about it, are you? God's in control of the universe. But God said that there'd be cold. You know, I get two really cold times in my life stick out when I was really cold. I went hunting with my dad in Hampshire County. From Fayette County to Hampshire County, that's a good long piece. And I remember going up with him, and that was when you had to put in for a doe permit, because there was only certain counties that you could go a couple days and hunt doe. So we got a permit. We went to Hampshire County. And Dad, you know, as people that were camping in this public hunting area, there was one that had as best I remember, it was like a full-size Ford Blazer. Is that what you could? No, it's not a Blazer. It's a Chevy Blazer. Ford Bronco, one of the big ones. The big ones. Is that right? They called Broncos the big one. And so we had the bright idea, I guess Dad did, and I went along with it, that we'd ride with him on top of the mountain and do some hunting. So we got in this Ford Bronco, this big one, went up to the top of the mountain, and it snowed, and that wind was blowing. I thought I was going to die. All I wanted to do, when you get that cold, all you really want to do is get warm. Forget this deer thing. I remember that. Sticks out in my brain. It's affected my brain even to this day. And then the second time, what is it? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I was probably in high school, I imagine. But the second time I remember being really cold was over in Bridgeport. Bridgeport, where they play football. See, we lived in Tyler County. I was pastor of Middleburn Baptist. And Tyler County was playing Bridgeport. And I'm pretty sure it was playoffs, wasn't it? First round of the playoffs, or was it just a regular game? But let me tell you, we about froze plumb to death over there. I don't know whether we weren't prepared or whether the wind was blowing or who knows. But there's two times that cold sticks out in my brain. But God said there's going to be cold. Second, cold comes out of the north. Cold comes out of the north. Job 37, verses 6 to 10. Job 37, verses 6 to 10. Notice this. It says, this is Elihu, the friend of Job, talking. But listen, he speaks some truth here. He didn't get everything right, but about Job and his situation. But this he does. He says, "For he saith to the snow," remember we read this morning, "Be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work." So he has control over man, but God is still working, okay? It says, "Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places." You know what that's talking about? Hibernation. Amazing book. It says, "Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north." You know, I Googled this. Yeah, I'm like, well, does cold really come out of the north? I mean, I understand. I thought, well, maybe it means something else or what. But you know what it says? Yeah, cold does come from the north. And since it's cold up there, these weather fronts and these jet streams will bring the cold down to the other parts of the world, mainly from the North Pole. So, number one, cold in the Bible. God said that there'd be cold. Number two, cold comes out of the north. Number three, cold is in the control of God. It really says it here as well, but Psalm 147, verses 15 to 18. Notice what it says. Psalm 147, verses 15 to 18. It says, "He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly." What's that talking about? The word of God. When he says to do something to nature, guess what? The nature does it. Here we read this morning. "He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold?" Who's cold? His cold. "He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow." God can do whatever he wants to. You see, cold, and as we talked about this morning, snow is in the control of God. So God is a big God. So you can complain about the cold all you want to. You can complain about the snow all you want to. You know what I feel like telling people sometimes when they start complaining about snow and cold? You know what that this is the human mean side of me, from my evil twin side, okay? I feel like saying, you know what? Why don't you just move? Because we're going to have cold and we're going to have snow, so why complain about it? I remember the camp director at senior camp, I think in particular. No, it was junior camp. Because he said, "Now listen," this was the camp director this past summer. He said, "You know what? It's hot. It's going to be hot. There's no need to say it's hot. And there's no need to complain about it being hot because it is. Just live with it and move on." And that's what we need to do. Cold is in the control of God. Number one, God said that there would be cold. Number two, cold comes out of the north. Number three, cold is in the control of God. Number four, some use cold as an excuse not to work. Now, I'm not saying this, or this point is not directed toward people that work in the cold, because I know there's people that work in the elements, and it's tough. I'm sure it's tough. But some, not rightfully so, use it as an excuse. Proverbs 20 and verse 4. Listen to this. Proverbs 20 and verse 4. Remember the Proverbs, the sayings that are true? "The sluggard," the one who really doesn't want to work in the first place, "will not plow by reason of the cold." I'm not going to go out and plow the garden. It's too cold out there. "Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." You see, some use the cold as an excuse not to work. I remember at Hawks Nest State Park. See, I worked in the summers there. My dad retired from there. He ran the tram, started when the tram was there. First tram operator. You'd see him on that work car, like way up in the middle, way up in the air on that tram car, on the side of that mountain up there, greasing wheels and all that, and harnessed in, I hope. I'm not sure. But, see, I worked there in the summers, at least three summers while I was in college. And one of my responsibilities, at least one summer, was taking deliveries. You know, when these trucks, because they had a restaurant. So So I would take the deliveries. I was maintenance man. I did about anything you wanted me to do there. Cleaned the pool. That was one of my big responsibilities. I'm a pool guy, you know, cleaning the pool. Yeah, I got the body for it, right? I'm joking. But the point here is I took deliveries, and we had a cooler, a walk-in cooler there for the restaurant. Sometimes I had to go in there and stock stuff up. I put on my winter coat. I remember my coat with that little, like, fur around the collar, and that is, and I'd put it up. Now, I didn't use it as an excuse not to work because it was part of my job, but some can use cold as an excuse. If they really don't want to work, oh, it's too cold out there, I'm not going to do it. You probably heard people say that, haven't you? Cold in the Bible, God said that there would be cold. Second, cold comes out of the north. Third, cold was in the control of God. Four, some use the cold as an excuse that is not to work. Number five, cold can be refreshing. Proverbs 25:13. Now this makes a point of a specific point about a faithful messenger, but notice what it phrases, how it phrases it here. It says, as the cold, there it is, cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. So it's saying, okay, if we have a faithful messenger that we can trust with this message to send on an errand and do whatever, it's as refreshing as cold in the time of harvest. It's not talking about it snowing at harvest time on all the crops. It's saying, you know, like, man, it's hot. We're out here harvesting, working hard. Anybody ever kind of can relate to that? So a good cool breeze would feel good. You see, cold can be quite refreshing. I'm not sure I fully caught how important air conditioning is when you're used to air conditioning until junior camp and senior camp this past summer. You know, junior camp, I think, was about the hottest year of the summer. Junior camp was. And see, that was down in Wood County, at their 4-H camp down there, Parkersburg area, Mineral Wells. And they have air conditioning in their dining hall. They have air conditioning in their assembly hall. And they had air conditioning in their cabins. So it was a hot, hot week. And when we were outside, you'd boil. It was hot. You know, playing sports or whatever. It wasn't like we just huddled up inside. But we had those breaks. And believe me, that cold was refreshing. Now, in comparison, senior camp was not as hot as junior camp as far as the temperature outside, but they didn't have any air conditioning. I've thought about raising a fund, to go fund me or something for them to get an air conditioner. I mean, we would sit in assembly time and sweat, and we'd go to our cabin and we would sweat. We'd go outside and we would sweat. Boy, and by the end of the week, it was like, boy, I'm tired. And just the difference. Because cold is sometimes refreshing. Cold in the Bible. God said that there would be cold. Cold comes from the north. Cold is in the control of God. Some use the cold as an excuse not to work. Cold can be refreshing. Number six, three examples of folks experiencing cold. Three examples of folks experiencing cold. In John chapter 18, remember when Jesus was arrested? Remember he was arrested and Peter and John followed along. Remember that? You know, they mainly scattered and they didn't like real close, but they were kind of like and at the high priest's home. And I can see like a courtyard. John goes in first and then he gets Peter in because he knew the high priest. John did. So then Peter comes in and it says here in John 18 verses 15 to 18, and Simon Peter followed Jesus and so did another disciple. That's John probably because he wrote this gospel. He was so modest he wouldn't mention his name. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. And notice, but Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. But notice, then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. But notice, and the servant and officer stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was what? Cold. So it was cold night. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So So there's an example of someone experiencing cold. The second example, Paul after the shipwreck at Melita. Remember, it's drawn out in Scripture and Acts, and it's pretty detailed about how he had a shipwreck. Remember that? And God says, everybody stay with the boat, and you'll all be saved, and nobody was lost at sea. No one even, I believe the Scripture says, no one even lost a hair of their head, basically, and they all survived. But notice what it says in Acts 28, verses 1 and 2. When they were escaped, that's from the sea, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Notice. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. There's a second example of folks experiencing cold. And a third example I'm going to call to your attention. Paul recounts his ministry for God. You know, he goes through this long list of shipwrecks and beatings and imprisonments, and he says all that. And he says in 2 Corinthians 11, I believe that's verse 27, it says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, there it is, in cold and nakedness. So Paul had also experienced probably many times of coldness. So three examples of folks experiencing cold. Cold in the Bible. God said that there'd be cold. Cold comes from the north. Cold is in the control of God. Some use the cold as an excuse not to work. Cold can be refreshing. Three examples of folks experiencing cold we just looked at. Last point. A warning about becoming cold in love. A warning about becoming cold in love. Now, in Matthew 24, just one verse we're going to look at. We could spend a lot of time looking here, but in Matthew 24 and verse 12. Now, whether this is a description of the tribulation period or whether it's the time leading up to the tribulation period, I think it's applicable in principle to us today. Now, listen to this verse. We're talking about cold and we're talking about love. All right. It says in verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. Now, if you think of that, and because iniquity. Now, what do you think it's got in mind as far as iniquity? Now, would you look around the world and say there's a lot of iniquity in the world? Would you look in our country and say there's a whole bunch? Now, does that ever get a little bit discouraging in our walk with the Lord? You know, it could be talking about sin. It could be even speaking of our own iniquity, because that can make our hearts cold, right, and our love cold for the Lord. It could be talking about persecution even, you know, because of their faith and because iniquity is abounding, and it's not just a little bit, but it's abounding. There could be cases where your heart gets cold. Your love for others gets cold. And it says, and because iniquity shall abound, not just a little bit, the love. And it's interesting, that word love there, the Greek word is agape love. That self-sacrificial type of love. Of many shall wax cold. Shall wax cold. Now, is it talking about love for God, or is it talking about love for one another? Good answer. I think it's really talking about both. You know, when iniquity grows and abounds, and again, that could be talking about the individual person, I believe. It could be like sin in your own life. But when that happens, and when wickedness is all around us, sometimes it discourages us and persecutes us to the point that our love can grow cold for one another. You know, maybe we live in you ever heard this dog-eat-dog world? Right? So it may discourage us to the point that our love for other people starts to get cold. Our love for the Lord starts to get cold. Now, the Bible in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, tells us the two greatest commandments, and both of them deal with love. Remember when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Trying to trip him up. Now, what did he say? Now, listen. listen to what it says here. It says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Amen. So if discouragement or persecution or wickedness in the world can hinder our love for God, mission accomplished, right? So we have to make sure that our heart and our love doesn't grow cold for the Lord. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now that jump passages, I'm going to relate that in here in just a moment. But I thought it went to the next verse. That was my bad. But now listen. Listen, the important thing is, whenever the world is as wicked as it can be, when things get as discouraging as they can be. Now, I know everybody probably in our midst right now is kind of a little pumped. You know, we got a new president. We got someone who's more conservative. We got someone in there that's more sympathetic to Christianity, and I think will support our freedoms and all that. Hopefully get this economy. So we're a little, but you know what? In four more years, who knows, right? And we could get discouraged, and we can let that discouragement and the wickedness of the world. And I mean, I'm amazed, just going out in the world a little bit, I'm amazed at people's behavior. I'm amazed at some of the language I hear. And if we're not careful, it could just completely be a downer and make us not love one another the way we should and not love God the way that we should. In other words, our love becomes cold, cold. Now, remember when you were first saved?
Oh, yeah.
I bet you were pretty fired up for the Lord if you were a typical Christian, right? You were fired up for the Lord. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. This is the Ephesian church. Remember the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3 addresses the seven churches of Asia. And this one, notice, it says a lot, but what I want to pick out is this verse in particular. As the Lord is addressing this church, says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now, I'm not saying it's exactly synonymous, but the idea is their love had grown cold. Now, we've talked about cold, and we can put some of that in our brain, say, oh, yeah, that's good. The Bible addresses a lot of these things. But the real application is tonight, the real application that I have for you, has your love for God grown cold? Has your love for other people grown cold? Now, is it as strong as it used to be? Now, don't answer out loud. This is between you and God. Has your love grown cold? It was a real problem addressed in Matthew 12 where it says it's coming. And I'm telling you, when I look around at Christians today, if we love God the way that we should, we would be willing to do whatever He wants us to do. And it wouldn't be an inconvenience to come out on Sunday night to come to church. It'd be a hallelujah, praise the Lord, absolutely going to be there, right? So let me ask you, has your love grown cold for the Lord? Just a little bit. You say, well, I used to be more at it, and I used to love the Lord more. You know, I think a good thing for us to pray about on a regular basis is to help us, those two commandments, help us, Lord, to love you more, and help us, Lord, to love people.